take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice.
To The Voice.
The Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
This is Sterling Roberts, and you are listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, victory over the weights of life with author Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministries with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturdays Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by The Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with The Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcasts, social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
This is AR Bass. Keep it locked right here on TPV Radio. You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Radio Network.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago, right now on TPV Radio.
Eat all the meat up, yo. Spit the bones out. Drink all the milk up. Start acting like you grown now. Not just a hearer, you a doer of the word, right? Now that you hear, hey, what you doing with the word, right? Hey, poetic, bring the drums in. Let me preach a little. Just let me speak a little. Trying to get the streets delivered. Hey, marijuana ain't got nothing on my Jesus, bro. And if you want it, you can have
it's
some of
your
Jesus,
cousin,
bro.
Your
nothing
brother,
changed,
your
breaking
nephew,
chains like we supposed to do.
Of real
keep the money,
talk,
keep the fame. I said, no to you.
Byron,
you don't need a microphone, some of you need to. You don't need a microphone, some of you need to. Stop. You get that boy your vacuum and some window.
Real Talk. Welcome to Real Talk. You already know it's your brother, your cousin, your one and only nephew, and this is Pastor Body, Stay Real, Livelihood Fellowship Ministries, Blessings on the Block Community Outreach, and your humble host of Real Talk. So welcome, everybody. This is June 10th of 2021. And look, y'all, we are almost already passed through this year of 2021. So definitely I want to shout out everybody that's with us right now. If you're on with us right now, you're checking us out, you listen to us a little bit later, hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. We appreciate y'all being with us and being with us at TPV Radio Network and on Real Talk. So look, before we get into the show, because look, we got a good show. We got a great guest with us on tonight. We've been trying to get him on for a while. But look, you know, things happen, and you know he's doing his thing with the Great Blueprint Radio Show. So finally got a chance to get him on, and look, I'll get to that in a minute. But let me send my shout out real quick. So real big shout out to TBV Radio Network for all they do, for hosting us, for having us, for welcoming us with love. Everybody, TBV Radio Network, the TBV Radio Network family. Everybody, Pastor Chris Newton, Lady Shanice Newton, all the hosts, all the shows on TPV Radio, I salute you, appreciate you. Send a shout out to my wife, Lady Sago, my kids, my grown kids. Hey, everybody that's riding with Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, everybody that's chilling with Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. And look, everybody that's always got my back, everybody that's being supporting, that's supporting us and being supportive. And I want to send a big shout out to Miss Deidre Neely. She is the co-founder of C4. So y'all get a chance, check out nonprofit organization C4. Show them some love for what they do. And hey, everybody else that's on with us, I appreciate you. I love you. And yo, look, this is Real Talk, and we gonna get into the meat and the weeds of what's going on today. So look, I got a special guest. Look, this is when, you know, sometimes we talk about, hey, that's my homeboy, that's my homegirl, but look, this is for show. This is for real. This is for real, a homeboy. When I'm talking about a for real homeboy, we from the same hometown. We walked on the same streets. We went to the same high school. We played on the same football team. We went to the same mall that they had. Look, we walked the same hallways in the high school, even though I was a little bit before him, a couple years before him, or a year or so before he graduated. But look, we ran the same streets, we did the same dirt in the same high school, we knew some of the same people, know a lot of the same people, graduated with a lot of the same people. So look, this is a for real homeboy. But look, I want to welcome, y'all show some love to my for real homeboy, Mr. Corey Isaac, the host of the Blueprint Radio Show. Corey, what's
good? Hey, yo,
man?
How you doing, man?
Man, what's going on? Look, man, I appreciate you having time, man, to come on with us. And look, you know, we've been trying to do this for almost a year, bro.
Yes, sir. I want to say, first of all, man, thank God, but thank you all. Thank everybody at the radio station, man, for even, you know, allowing you to be there and then allowing me to come on. And, you know, so thank you for the opportunity, man. I really appreciate it.
No, man, appreciate you for taking time out of your schedule, because I know you got a lot going on with the Blueprint Radio Show, man, for coming on with it. Like I said, we've been trying to do this for a year. We talked about this last year that we're gonna get this thing going on, but you know, stuff happens. So look, tell all my listeners a little bit about Corey Isaac, man, Mr. Football,
yes,
is what I like to call
him. So Corey Isaac, man, class of 1987, from Natchez, Mississippi, grew up on Minor Street, came up off of Minor Street, have an older brother, from a single-parent household. My mom was Patricia Isaac. Shout out to my mom, man, hard-working lady. I don't think, you know, probably close to 40 years of working, man, I don't think that she took 3 vacations, you know, but so I get the work ethic from her. So thank you to my mom. Shout out to Macedonia Baptist Church, man. Came up through Macedonia Baptist Church, through Miss Oliver, through Miss Jackson, through some great people there. And like I say, just class of 1987, shout out to them, man. But just being from Minor Street, and we'll get more into the interview, but just being from there humbled me in some ways to be where I'm at now, and I'm just thankful for, you know, everybody that pushed me along the way, you know.
Yeah, good. That's what I'm talking about, man. And like I said, ladies and gentlemen, look, he graduated in 97. I graduated in 93. We ran the same hallway, played on the same football team. We had different coaches, but you know, that was a transition time period. So look, how long you been in Texas?
Man, so I did the Air Force thing. So I got out as soon as I graduated high school. I graduated in 97, like I said, went straight to the Air Force like a week later. And I've been in Dallas, Texas since like 2002. So and been at the post office. Been at the post office since, and it's just been a great opportunity, man. Post office provided some great opportunities for me and my family. Two great kids, man. My daughter just graduated college 2 weeks ago, and my son is headed to high school, man. So like I say, man, just thankful for the post office to give me an opportunity to work there for this many years, man. So been here since 2002.
Man, wow, that's what's up. So look. So, you know, we already talked, but we gonna get into the weeds about community, man. And we gonna really get into it now. Big shout out to you, man, because you show a lot of love, even though you're here in Texas, bro. You still show a lot of love back for our hometown back in Natchez, Mississippi. So you definitely show a lot of love. So now I know you have a passion for the community, especially, you know, like I said, right, for our hometown. Now what kind of things have you started? Been doing for the community. Now, when I say for the community, I'm talking about back in our hometown. What's some of the things you've been doing back there?
Most definitely. So, like I was saying, so you know, I go back before '97. I remember just growing up in Macedonia Baptist Church, man, and the way Miss Oliver and Miss Jackson took us in, and they were showing us to give back to our community within the church, you know. And so I took that in at the age, I want to say, man, at the age of like 12. So at the age of 13, I had an opportunity to meet a man named Mr. Paul O'Malley. He was a white man, you know, of course, and he was an alderman in the city. He had a limousine company. He was a geologist, and he was a wealthy man. And what he did was, he, being an alderman, he wasn't the alderman over my ward, over Minor Street. He just came one time to help us on the Minor Street Jubilee. And he, you know, that was our first time meeting, and he brought me in, and, you know, was like, hey, I got a job for you if you like to work for me, you know. And he brought me in, you know, and teaching me how to, you know, he let me cut grass, and I was washing cars and doing things like that. So we built a great bond, man. And to be a white man, to take a young black man off of Minor Street and give him a better opportunity, I really appreciate that. So what he did was, for me, as I always said, I said, whenever I get older, you know, whenever I leave school, I want to pay it back, you know. So with all the teaching from him, my mom, Macedonia Baptist Church, it gave me an opportunity when I say, man, you know, once I do my Air Force commitment of 4 years, I always just want to come back and just give back. So once I came back, man, I started with like, I started my first thing with like a canned good drive. You know, I initiated some contact with the stew pot, and, you know, man, I did a bowling event. So in order to bowl, you had to bring two canned goods. And the bowling alley worked out well with me. They let people bowl for free. All they had to do was bring two canned goods each. And on that particular night, man, you know, we collected over 1,500 canned goods that we donated to the stew pot. And then it went from canned goods drive to we started doing clothing drives for the school. So, you know, kids, you know, some less fortunate kids that needed clothes for school, we started collecting clothes and getting kids and getting them right in situations like that. I did reading programs, you know, I did reading programs, I did tutorial programs. Thank you for all the former teachers and current teachers that helped me with that, man. And man, we just been doing so much in the community. And I always said, you know, if I ever leave town, I always want to come back and give back. You know, I'm not perfect, man. I made a lot of mistakes in my life, man, you know, which we all are. You know, we just human. But at the end of the day, you know, just to be able to come back home, man, and just to be able to give and not look for anything in return, man, is just a blessing, you know. So that's how it started. Yes, sir.
That's good. Now, I know you brought up some of the same teachers. I believe we have some of the same teachers. I don't think my mom ever taught you, right?
No, she didn't. And you know what? Shout out to them, man. I'm glad you brought up your mom. I was home recently, and you know, I haven't been home in a while, so I passed by, man, and they doing great work, man. So shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Sago, man, for what they're doing with the Rhythm Nightclub and just that whole area right there, man. So shout out to them, man. Be, you know, your mom being a former educator and the things that they're doing in the community, man. And then most definitely, shout out to Blessings on the Block and what you all are doing, man. I mean, you know, I think that people overlook, you know, our work and the things that we do, You know, like we may not get the most shares or we might not get the most talk. You know, and it's not about, we're not doing it for clout or we're not doing it for attention. At the end of the day, man, we're doing God's work, man. So I appreciate what you all are doing as well.
Man, no, I thank you, man. I appreciate that. Now, you know, man, one thing I want to hit on now. Now, you have been, if y'all go on Facebook, y'all will see this group called Natchez Legends, and what it's talking about is talking about, you know, the student athletes in Natchez, Mississippi. Now, what I want to talk about, and I know you and I, we talked about this over the phone. Now, we know that during the time that I played and I came out, we didn't have those same opportunities that you had when you played and when you came out. And we had said that if we had some of the same opportunities that our kids have today, we probably been way further than where we are right now. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
What's the problem? And again, I'm focusing on our hometown. What's
right.
been the problem that you've seen that's been affecting a lot of our student athletes there in Natchez?
So, true story. I think this is just a true story. I think that I don't know what's going on, and no disrespect on nothing or what I'm saying here with counselors.
Yes, no.
I think that when kids get to high school, when you become a ninth grader, I think that it needs to be mandatory that you take the ACT in the ninth grade. And the reason being is because you know where you at that point. I think
right.
that then you start to have, if you have trouble with the ACT, you need to start having prep classes for those kids. And I think because what happens is we see a lot of kids, man, that are waiting to their senior year to take the ACT. They're not getting the things that they need. And if you were to look at it, man, we're not producing. We have the athletes there, but the grades are not there. So
right.
my thing
right.
is we need to, I mean, and I'm just saying, in ninth grade, counselors need to get with their alphabetical order group of kids and say, hey, we're going to take this ACT test. I know that there's funding to pay for it. I know there's parents that can pay for it, but they need to get those kids tested first, see where they at, and that needs to be put out there. And I just think that it's too much opportunity, man. It's too many camps. It's too many things that these kids are not doing. Like, you're in Texas, of course, I'm in Texas, and it's just so much right now that's happening out here, camp-wise and things like that, proper training and things like that. We have a great facility at Natchez High on the football field, and I just think that it needs to be utilized more. They need to bring, here's my thing. Why do we always have to run to New Orleans? Why do we always have to run to Atlanta? Why do we always have to run to Baton Rouge and places like that to go to successful
right.
camps? Why can't we bring those camps to Natchez? And I'm going to tell you, when you bring those camps to Natchez, what happens is Natchez gets showed off. You get to see our city. Not saying that, you know, a lot of people say, well, what is it to do here? But at the same time, think about the economic burst. Hotels will make money. Restaurants will make money. You get what I'm saying? And then as a whole, sports will be highlighted because you get to bring people to our stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take. So in a nutshell, basically what I'm saying is we got to get these kids tested on the ACT and A grade. See where they at, start getting them some ACT prep classes. Because if I tell you, tell me somebody that went straight D1, I can name one or two, but you can't
yeah.
name 10 that went straight D1 from Natchez High, you know, because their grades wasn't there. And then another thing, and this is just the truth, when we sit up here and we go, we as fans down there, we run up to Alcorn, they have 5 home games a year. And they run the Alcorn 5 times a year supporting the Braves, but why the Braves coaching staff not coming down to recruit our kids?
Right, right, absolutely. and we're only what Lorman Alcorn is only what 25 miles away from
right, right, right. So why are you not recruiting our kids? But then you know a lot of our people. A majority of our people go there, get degrees from there, and you know it. That's how you build a connection. We even had an Alcorn School of Business, Alcorn School of Nursing on Natchez property in our city. So why are you not recruiting our city? I mean, I know that there's talent, but, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one thing, one of the most important things you said, and I hope that there are a lot of Natchez parents listening. If they're not, I'm sure they can see this later, is that it's important. It's important. You hit it right on the head, Corey, that these kids, look, there's so much talent in Natchez. I mean, think about, if we sit and think about the talent that came out in 91 and the talent that came out in 92, talent that came out in 93 and 4 or 5 in your class and so on and so on. But you know what it was is that we didn't know the things, the important things that we should be getting these kids to understand now.
True. You know, and let me show you something. So you take the group that I formed that you're in and we're talking about right now. So I love that kids are going to camp. I love that kids are putting their stats up. But when we talk about academics, it get quiet.
Right.
You know, right. And my thing is, that's what we got. Listen, man, it is, we know, and this is what's crazy. You've seen me interview so many people that have said, Corey, I just didn't have a grade. Corey, I just didn't have a grade. I had to end up going to a JUCO. And nothing wrong with going to a JUCO. But what my point is, you get those grades, you put it out there on the field, you going to a good school. And don't get me wrong, a scholarship is a scholarship. Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. If it's free money for school, you go. But what I'm saying is, don't let it be because your education level, you didn't get the proper ACT score. Don't let it be because of that.
Right.
You know,
right.
if you look at, just to piggyback to go back to Alcorn, if you look at the Natchez High School girls won state, I think back-to-back, and I don't know, I'm not going to correct these years. It was 2014-2015. They won back-to-back, and you're trying to tell me Alcorn could have came down and took that whole starting five to Alcorn and won SWAT for the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
None of those girls got a scholarship offer to any SWAT school, anything like that. They had to go to JUCO route and things like that.
But
my question is, I know when we talk about the grades, but we also have to say the coaches got to push them kids.
Right.
If you got tape on them, sell your kids. And our coaches, we have to also open up the budget to send our coaches to those camps. Coaches should be going to camps to network. Hey, I got a kid that's doing this. I got a kid that's doing that. Can you look at some film? Of course, that coach is going to say, well, how is his grade? But that's why as a coach, like I say, as a coach, counselor, parent, all of us have to be on the same page to say, we got to get these kids tested early because by the time their senior year comes, if you made a 15 on your ACT, hopefully by the time your senior year come, you could be at a 22 or something. Who knows?
Right. Exactly. And you know, and you say that, and that was one thing we did with my daughter. She first took her ACT. I want to say it was her 10th grade. That way, she still had all of her 10th grade to maybe take it again, and she had all of her junior year. And she had all of a senior year. If she didn't make that grade that was that score that was good enough to get her in almost any college, then you had all that time to to go back and retake it. And you're right.
Yes, sir.
And what we're doing is we're pushing that on the kids, but we're not pushing that the first thing a coach is going to ask is, are you taking your ACT yet or your SAT? Because they got to see if they can get you into school first.
Right. Exactly. You get to your senior year, and the first time I think you could take it 3 times in your senior year. So you wait till your second time, next to last time, and then you made a 15. How you think you're going to go in, your mindset going to be that last time? So how about you go in as a freshman? You might go in just, okay, let me just go in and just try. but you got opportunities. And the problem that I have is we hear these stories from your year to my year in the 80s, the 70s. We hear the same stories. So why are we not applying this to fix the situation?
Right, right. Got it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, now, the student athletes, especially from our alma mater, now, one thing you just said is important, that getting our kids to these camps.
Right.
Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, everybody's listening. Now, myself and Cora, we're talking about student athletes now. We're not talking about just athletes. We're talking about student athletes with the understanding that the grades are the first thing. The grades are the first thing. Now, especially from our alma mater, you talked about a few things about the camps. What else you see is lacking? Because we have, coming from out of Natchez High, and we can go back every year. Coming out of Natchez High, we all had D1 talent. Every year we had D1 talent coming out of Natchez High. So what's lacking to the point to where these kids that have that talent are not getting recognized or not getting seen by these schools that everybody else is getting seen by? I mean, you got here in Texas, we're both here in Texas, and we know that these kids get seen by D1 talent from all over the place.
Right. Okay. So why is
our kids are not from our alma mater is not getting that recognition?
Okay.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. So follow this. So my thing is, I've always said, so, and we'll get into that in a minute too. We'll get to the politics talk of things. But let's take how people go and they say the politicians should do this in our city, the politicians should do that. But in that group that I formed, and you're in there, so you're watching it, what I always said, and this is something I wanted to do community-wide. Now follow this. So I said, we can't wait on the politicians to fix things in our community. Why can't we do it? So let me give you an example. Say, for instance, our population in Adams County is 15,000 people. Okay, that's of course, that's white and black. That's total. So my thing is like I said, how about if I can gather 5,000 people together? I'm going to say that. We come out and I say every month what we do is we form an organization. I don't want to be over it. We find a president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. Follow where I'm going. Everybody donate $10 a month to that. Just say 5,000 people. Donate $10 a month. Listen what you can do with that money. I don't even have a calculator near me. You do that math if you want to. You add that money up. Let's just say if you've been putting money into it and you're a parent, and you put money into it and you say, hey, Corey, or hey, president or the organization, whomever, I have a child that want to go to a Texas A&M camp. Now, we go and we look in the book and we see, okay, yeah, Jane Doe has been paying her $10 a month. Okay, there's a camp coming up. Let's okay, y'all, we talk to the organization. Okay, we're going to pay for this child. If it's $500, we're going to pay for this child to go to this Texas A&M camp. Yes, he's from Natchez, but he's going to go to this Texas A&M camp. And my thing is, that money right there, you use that money that I just spoke on. Let's just say an older lady in the neighborhood, let's just say her house is leaking. You take that money and you spend it and you put it back and fix her roof. Let's say something going on at the school and we go over there and we feed the kids, basketball team, football team, baseball team, whomever. Or let's just say, man, something happened to a single parent car that need to be fixed. If you put money into this organization, why do we have to worry about looking out for everybody else if you're putting into this? So what I'm saying is to you is, back to the football aspect, going to Colin and those camps are great. But what I'm saying to you is, if we have a talented kid, we have to put them at the camps where others are seen. And here's another thing. It don't matter about you being a five-star. I am an LSU fan. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver for LSU, rookie last year for the Minnesota Vikings, was a two-star. Mm-hmm. It's about your work ethic. It's about what you put into it. So my thing is, if you end up having to go to Colin and ball out. But what happens is people got that mentality of, oh, if I go to Colin, I'm shamed if I have to go. Just play your part and play your position and win.
And our
problem is, I'm telling you, Miss Sago, Miss Georgia Oliver, Mrs. Jackson, those people, you know, and no, I love the teachers that we have now. I love the teachers we have now. Those people, and what happens is we had those teachers, man, that was on us. Stayed on us. Today, you can't say anything to these kids, man. Teachers can't really get on these kids, man, how they want to because of the parents. My mom was no nonsense. I know your mom was. My mom was no nonsense. So if we need to go to a commercial break, I know we talked about the 5 o'clock. Do we need to do anything now, or do I keep going, or what?
The radio show got to pay some bills. Hold what you got. We're going to continue to talk. And look, we're going to talk about this parent thing, too. And finish your thoughts.
Okay.
Once we come back, we're going to talk about this parent thing as well. So, look, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
I got my man Corey Isaac, my homeboy from Natchez, Mississippi. Radio station got to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Real Talk. You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago, right now on TPV Radio.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dolly Hanson, you scared me. Good to know the Calvary's here. Look, guys, I'm backed up like the 405 on Carpocalypse. Take the watch. Help yourself to a fat pill, yeah?
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in. Coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect them, I made the call, it was just like I'm reppin'. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said thank God I ain't average. Yeah, I'm a bright young man. Kill the GPA and the BPM. Look, we on. So say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae. From the A train to the A, I'm coming in. I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
Wake 'em up. See, I'm still sleeping, so I had to shake 'em up.
Shake 'em up.
I kept it too real.
Yeah.
I wasn't faking up.
No.
My real life was a headline. Your real life got a deadline. My timeline was a hashtag. Your timeline just a hate crime. Coming in hot. Feeling like Pop. Back in 94 when he took 5 shots. Too much drive to ride your wave. Ditch my top and I'm off that lot. Black on black on black on black.
black on black on black on black. You don't have to ball a rap to get them racks on racks. Uber poolers trying to catch my vibe and find my way. Yeah, I know I'm ratchet, but I'm really safe. Hot sauce dripping. Everybody wanna start dipping. First nobody wanna listen. Now everybody pay attention. Now everybody pay fees. Even Trump gotta take a knee. When the horn blow, y'all gon' see. Make the wall fall down like, yee. I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot the shot. I'm coming in hot.
Coming in hot, coming in hot. Shoot that shot, shoot that shot. Shoot, why not? Hey, why not? Ain't no big, ain't no big. Feel like Pac. We can't lose. We can't stop. We can't stop. Yeah, coming in hot.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago. Right now on TPV Radio.
All right, all right, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back with the second half of Real Talk with my man Corey Isaac. So look, before we went to the break, man, we were talking about these no nonsense teachers that we used to have. And look, I remember, and you remember, we had these teachers that will implode you right there on the spot,
right where
you are. Especially if you were doing something wrong, it don't matter if you was at school or if you wasn't at school. And you saw a teacher that saw you doing something wrong, and they knew that you were one of their students or any student that went to that school, and they knew you, they're going to correct you on that spot.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they held us to a standard. They held us accountable for all of our actions. And like you said, teachers can't do that today because of the parents. Now, look. I got it. You know, you don't want everybody. I understand that. We don't want everybody to discipline our kids. I understand that. But parents, I've seen this on the tread, and you and I have talked about this. And I think Steve Davis and I think we talk about this, that parents have been a thorn in a lot of the student athlete side. Because of the way they act and the way they treat these coaches.
True. Right. So let me can I chime in on that right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so what happens, you know, and a quick story, man. I remember you know, how I am as a parent now. So of course my daughter just graduated from college, my son is in that grade. What I always did when my kids went to school, the first day of school or that week of, I would always meet with the teachers and I would say, "Hey, listen, here's my phone number." I say, my kids are expected to come here and be respectful to you, do their schoolwork, whatever. They may have some tough days, whatever like that. Anytime they're giving you a problem, here's my number. I just gave it to you. So my thing is, you have the right to discipline them when they do wrong. If they're out of character, contact me. That's how I did it each year. And my thing is, you have to be out there at your kid's school, you can't wait until something is wrong. Like, visit your kid's school. You know, with things going on, PTA meetings, things like that, different activities, go to your kid's school. Be active in there, you know. And then what happens on the sports side, listen, we know, you know what your child can do. If your child can play or not, let's just be honest, man. And the problem is, out here, if I use Texas for an example, you cannot approach a coach right after a game, "Why my son not playing?" That is for a meeting within the week, you know. And a lot of these parents at home, they run straight to social media. Such, "My son not playing," this, that, and the other. Let's just be honest. We're in a time right now where wins and losses determine your job. And I would be remiss to say that a coach is not playing somebody because they're not good. If your child is good, a coach is going to find an opportunity for your child to play. But as parents, we have to know. We have to know. And we have to be honest. Is our child really putting in the effort?
Right.
We really have to be honest with that. And let me piggyback on this. I remember, giving a shout out to Miss Oliver again, the first time I ever was humbled in life, it was Miss Oliver. My senior year, I had won an award for something, and the school newspaper interviewed me, and I was like, oh, I knew I was going to win. You know, I knew I was going to win, and because I know who I am, I knew I was going to win. So Miss Oliver, being who she is, she said, don't you ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. You show respect to your people that you competed against, and you win graciously. And I think what happened now is these kids are too entitled. These kids are too entitled. And these parents are upholding them in anything and everything. And what's happening is I love that our ladies are being at these sporting events. We have to get the fellas out too. I love it. But a lot of our ladies are wanting to be the coach and the parents.
Yeah.
And you have to trust these coaches to do their job. Steve Davis and I talk we text every other day about things like this. And just to piggyback one more thing too, Ms. Plago, is this here. You go and we talk about kids going to those big camps that I just talked to you about. The problem being is, like I said, Ms. Oliver, Ms. Beverly Smith, they were one of the first ones to take me out of town, Ms. Jackson. So my point is, these kids, I remember I used to be a mentor over the group called the Elks Group. It used to be Carlos Ward, and we had Roderick Connor, Ezric Skiffer. We had a lot of people in this group. And my point is, I used to be a mentor for them. What happened is we don't have those groups no more in Natchez. And then what's happening is a lot of kids are not going out of town. Think about this. There are some kids right now on Minor Street where I'm from. There are some kids right now from River Oaks, Maryland Heights, that has never been out of Natchez. You are what you are around. My thing is, when Ms. Jackson and them took us to Atlanta, when they took us to Memphis, when they took us to places, Biloxi, places like that, that opened my mind and say, man, it's something outside of Natchez. You know, because you look at TV when you were growing up, and I know your mom took you on trips. I used to look at the travel magazine and be like, man, California, New York. But we have to start. And I've been wanting to do this form an organization to take kids out of Natchez. I don't care if we go to New Orleans for a weekend. Let these kids see different. Because if you don't, they're going to be stagnant and want to stay in the same place they're in.
Right. And, you know, it's one good thing you said, too, Corey, is that the lack of mentorship is lacking because look, bro, think about this, Corey. When we grew up, right now, they weren't so much. I don't want to use the word they weren't mentors, but what they were was they were folks that told you, look here, don't you do that, or
thank you,
look here, that or look, that's not what you need to do, or hey, come thank here, you. Boy, let me tell you something. You need to stay away from over there because that ain't where you need to go. If I see you back over there again, I'm going to tell your mom, I'm going to tell your dad, I'm going to tell your parents, or whatever the case might be.
Thank you.
So I grew up,
you are exactly right. I grew up, like I said, on Minor Street. I can honestly say nobody has ever asked me to, do you want a beer? Nobody has ever asked me to smoke weed. Nobody has, and this is the truth, nobody from Minor Street has ever asked me to do that. When we talk about mentors, I look at Larry Hooper. You know, growing up, I see what Larry Hooper right now is doing as a head coach. I see what Tony Fields are doing. Like I say, shout out to the food district and the people, like I say, that's working their butt off, man. We have a very transparent deputy superintendent, Zandra McDonald Green, who's really working hard as assistant superintendent. Larry Hooper is the freshman academy principal. We have a lot of people, man. Eric Jackson, who's the head principal in Natchez High, Tony Fields. We have a lot of people, and Larry Hooper is one of those ones. He's buried, man, so many students in the past 10 years. So many students have died over the past 10 years because of what's happening in Natchez. And it's the lack of recreation, lack of jobs. The crime rate is on the rise. And shout out to, you know, people like the sheriff, and you know the police department is doing what they can. But you, but my thing is, when you have over 8 to 10 unsolved murders in Natchez, that's too much. Byron, you know this. Growing up, if somebody was killed at 8 o'clock in Natchez, by noon they were found.
Yeah.
How do you have unsolved murders in Natchez right now? It's just, and then the thing is, it's just bad. And like I say, lack of recreation. What are the kids? Okay, tell me what kids are doing right now in Natchez for the summer. They have nothing for them, man. I have nothing against the swimming pool in Natchez. But let's be honest. We did that, Byron. We had the Duncan Park swimming pool. We got to be honest. Kids are not swimming anymore, man.
No, man. Kids, they barely going outside.
Exactly. And my thing at the end of the day, man, what I'm loving is I'm loving that more African-Americans are getting businesses in Natchez. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
We're getting opportunities in Natchez to own things. That's great. But my thing is, man, we are lacking a lot of things in Natchez, man. I mean, you know, of course, they just opened up. Okay, somebody in Vidalia, it was in the paper yesterday, just opened up, just got the Kmart building, so they're going to open up as a design shop or something like that. But my thing is, why couldn't that be a skating rink? I'm just asking and talking loudly.
Yeah.
Why couldn't that be a skating rink or a bounce house or something recreational for the kids?
Right.
These kids, my idle mind is a devil workshop, and you know this. You preach on that, huh?
Right. Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, and look, when here recently, what you said, they have nothing to do. Now, we felt when we were there that there was nothing to do, you know. But you know, we had the mall, and there was the rec center over there where Mr. Hawk used to be over. We had things. We had the rec center. We had the mall. You know, we had things that kind of helped us out. But all that stuff is shut down now.
Watch this, man. Watch this. I got a good friend named Jamar Smith, man. Jamar Smith, he had an accident a few years ago, so he's paralyzed from waist down. But let me tell you something. He could fix bikes, put speakers in cars. He was great at what he could do. Well, my point of what I'm saying is, think if they would have had technical schools for him. Who knows what he would be now? You get what I'm saying? And then my thing is, you look at, like, we talk about the kids that play basketball. Why not open up these gyms in the summertime? Let these kids work on their game. These kids are not going to Concord Park anymore, the youth center. They're not going to play ball anymore. So if you're not, you're not going to go outside. Open up a gym, and guess what you do? Say, hey, I tell you what, pay $2 to come in the gym and hoop for a couple of hours. And guess what? You take that $2 and give it to a security guard to watch over there. I mean, it's just giving them, like you said, we didn't do much. We didn't have much. But at the same time, man, we could ride our bikes all across town. We did different things. We had Duncan Park, but we made fun for ourselves. We played pickup tackle. A kid right now don't even know what pickup tackle is right now.
you're right. But think about it, though, as well. Now, look, we growing up and back in Natchez, and, you know, we did our little mischievous stuff just like anybody did. But what's happening is, we didn't see that much trouble. And you and I know, and all the listeners know, we know Natchez ain't but so big, really. Come on now.
Right.
For Natchez to have so many murders and so many violent crimes by 15, 16, 17-year-old young men and women that should be in school or should be occupying their time with something else, you know, the city has to see that's a problem and it needs to be fixed. And when we have the people, like I said, big shout out to Tony Fields and Larry Hooper, which are all products of Natchez High and came back and are giving back to Natchez High, you know, and a bunch of others that are out there, like yourself, you know, there's so many that are trying their best, but they can only do so much.
Right. It's a competition thing now. I'll be honest with you. Think about this here. Let's be honest. Okay. Let's just be honest. Your mom did the best she could in her realm of education. Ms. Oliver did. You had all these other people did the best they could. What happens now is I did this. The next person, I did that. And nobody can come together. Nobody's coming together. Mm-hmm. Everybody is trying. For instance, if I go out here right now and did an Easter egg hunt and I promote it, it's going to be three other black people that's going to do one too. Instead of us just coming together to do one business.
Right.
And
right.
And I have a problem with, like I say, man, at the end of the day, it's where's the unity? I mean, it's lacking unity at home. And what's happening is when you say a lack of leadership, and no knock to anybody that's doing great at home, lack of leadership, who are the kids looking up to?
Mm.
So when they see us as adults not acting right, they're not gonna act right. Look, I love social media. I love social media. I love what it's about, man. But at the end of the day, I just took a 7-month break. At the end of the day, it was overwhelming because you just see so much negativity.
Right. Right.
These kids at home, man, they want so much, man. And shout out to these kids that are getting these associate degrees. Now, I give them that. They getting these associate degrees and their high school diploma at the same time. And that's out of school district. So shout out to them on that. But here's my thing. As a politician or whomever, where are you day one after you win the election? Where are you day two after you win the election? See, it's a lot of them don't come around until election time. They come to your church. They come to your house. Then they tell you what we're going to do in the community. But my thing is, with crime rate is so high, why don't you have like a bi-weekly meeting? Hey, what's going on in the community? Anything I need to address? How y'all doing? Anything on, you know, anything in the community, like how are the streets? How's this going? How's that going? And that's how you be transparent. To say I want another term in office, to say I want to win again. Not I won and then, okay, I can't even reach you. And shout out to people like Ricky Gray. Shout out to people like Ricky Gray, who's doing great down there. He's transparent.
Right.
He's everywhere.
Right.
Ricky Gray is going to be everywhere in every funeral. He's going to be at every event. He's there.
Respectfully,
he's going to be there. You know, I give out the shout out to Travis Patton, the sheriff. You know, if you need him, he'll be there. But I mean, at the same time, don't just come around for a photo op when it's convenient.
Right. And you know what? And that's absolutely right, man. Because you have these people that run for office, right? And I've experienced this firsthand. You know, with Blessings on the Block, we're out, we do an event for the community, and you have politicians that are running for office, and it's that season. And look, they're out there loading up boxes, passing out boxes, you know, stacking more than people would call, putting up the canopy over the mobile food pantry and all this kind of stuff. They're out there. And then as soon as the election is over with, they win, then you text them and they don't answer back, and then they don't have to come to any more of the outreach program anymore.
Or if they lose, they tuck their tail and they mad and they run. But if you lose, guess what? Stay in the race. Stay out here working. Guess what? It may help you next time. See, like for me, I'm going to be going to Jackson in end of July because the crime rate in Jackson is so high, but I want to work on things up there with them, man. My thing is this. I just want to help where I can help it. You know, I want to use my platform to give other people the help that they need, man. There are a lot of people. Like, listen, I go to counseling. I know two people in my life that I've known who committed suicide. So I go to counseling. Mental health is real, man. But the problem is in the African-American community, we're scared or such and such going to counseling. He must be crazy. Man, listen, man. Don't worry about what the next person feels. If your mental health is not right, you're not going to be right, man. You know, right now, man, I'm in a great space, man. Great people in my life, man. I have great kids. The great small circle of my life right now is great. And just being on this show right now, man, I'm seeing what you're doing. I appreciate you. But at the end of the day, man, my message is we have to work together in the community, man. We have to stop backbiting. And this I'm gonna make this white or black for just a second. You might have white people that may dislike each other, but they're working together to make it happen.
Absolutely.
But when it's us, man, we hear what somebody else over there doing or somebody else said, and we stop talking to people, stop forming a legion. You know, we over here, we team up with this person. Man, I like to talk a problem out. If I ever done anything to somebody, man, let's talk it out.
Right. Well, let me give you one better than that. So why is it that? And is it, again, just a rhetorical question. Why is it that a lot of our when we have organizations that are led by black people, you know what I'm talking about? They're the executive director or they're the founder, and you reach out to people and the ones that are negative about what you're doing or don't want to be supportive are the ones that are in that are in your own race. But another type of organization, they'll be first in line saying, What you need me to do? But they have a problem.
Man, listen, because people want to see, but I'm going to tell you something. People want to see you do good, but they don't want to see you do better than them. Your neighbor, you can have a next door neighbor, and you can be selling T-shirts. Your next door neighbor will go way across town to get a T-shirt from somebody else before they buy it from them. You know why? Because they want to make sure that you stay their neighbor. They want to see you do good, but not better than them. That has always been the problem in our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, listen, I love when people listen, man. If you go get a new car, Byron, I'm happy for you. Man, congratulations, because at the end of the day, that's your time, that's your season, and that's your bill.
Absolutely, that's your bill, it ain't mine, congratulations. So if you go get a Merc, and your Merc costs you $560 a month, or whatever the case might be, then congratulations to you. I ain't paying no $800 a month for no car, that's just me.
Right.
You know? And right. You're absolutely right. And what's been happening, man? Especially in Natchez is so small that our black community can't come together and work together for nothing.
You listen, man. We got lack of, and I know it's almost time, but our attendance at sporting events are low. So if our attendance at sporting events are low, this is how you fix that. I'm gonna show you something. What's wrong with going to the elementary schools and saying, you know what? Here go a ticket to the game for the night. A free ticket. I'm just saying, a free ticket. But guess what, though? When you get that elementary school kid a free ticket, guess what? Somebody got to bring them, right? So guess what?
Right.
Now that adult is going to buy a ticket, those little kids are going to be at that game cheering. The difference in some games in between a win and a loss is the crowd participation. We need to do – there is more that we can do for these kids, man, that we are not doing. I'm going to be quiet.
No, you're good, bro. We got a little bit extra time, so ain't no problem.
Okay.
We got a little bit extra time, so
okay.
So one thing you said about bringing those kids and giving away free tickets. Now,
what is it gonna hurt, Brian? Let me ask you a question. What is it gonna hurt? They wasn't coming anyway. So follow where I'm going. If I sit up here and I gave elementary school kids free tickets, they wasn't coming anyway, so it wasn't money you was gonna lose. But if you say, for instance, you gave about 300 tickets to some elementary school kids, but let's just say 100 of them come. By them coming, their parent gotta bring them. So now that means that 100 parents may buy a ticket. We're not dropping kids off at the game. So you bring them kids, man, and what you do is, how about in Natchez High School, you have a Bulldog section. You know, man, you go to Brookhaven, you go to them places like that, they got sections just for kids, the fan section. Man, you put them there, man, let them kids get some little T-shirts and cheer. Make them feel special. It's called the bulldog section or whatever like that. I'm just saying. But give them something of their own. We're not giving kids nothing of their own that they can have at the school. They could take. They would take pride in that.
Right. Right.
Man, them kids will get in that section, man. They're going to be there with their little friends. They're going to be cheering. And, man, my thing is, what you do is you take the football team over to the elementary school. Let them take pictures with them kids. Then guess what them kids going to say? Man, I want to go see such and such play. He came and took a picture with me. That's how you build pride up.
Now, check this. I don't know if you remember. I mean, I was smaller. I'm talking about back in the 80s because my sister, she graduated in 87. I'm talking about when North Natchez and South Natchez was big, right? So the stands used to be chock full of people. And I remember the green and gold. And the only thing I wanted to do is say, look, when I get in high school, I want to play football for the North Natchez Rams. So by getting those younger kids involved and getting them to those games and they seeing these games, that's putting in their head like, man, I want to do that when I get in high school because we don't know what type of talent that's coming up with these younger people, these younger kids, basketball, track, baseball, whatever the case might be, get them out there to see it so they can get in their mind like, man, I want to be just like that. I want to do that, you know, and I believe that's what we fed off of by going to North Natchez games and the basketball games and the baseball games and track and football. We fed off that stuff.
Right. I think, Byron, the thing is, right now we're in a win-lose. That's where we at. Now, when they winning, look, when Natchez High School girls won back-to-back state championships, they wasn't coming to the games a couple miles around the street to Natchez High. But when they started going to the big house that same year, man, you had Greyhound buses and everything going up there. But where were you at when they were winning at the beginning?
Right. Right.
And that's a problem I have. That's a problem I have. Like I said, Byron, you know this. Momentum swings by crowd participation.
Absolutely.
The momentum swings by crowd participation. And I'm just saying, man, we have to be all in one accord. And here's another thing. We have to get teachers out to games. Come see them kids play, man. The principal's got to be there. Everybody got to be there, man.
We gotta put
a product out on the field worth seeing.
Right, but I tell you this too, Corey. The teachers nowadays. Now look, the teachers work hard. The teachers in today, they work hard, but the teachers today are cut from a different cloth than the teachers were that we grew up with. Because the teachers that we grew up with, they loved to teach. They love their job, and they have been in the game for years. You understand? Ooh. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh. They love their job. They love the kids. They love teaching. Honestly, a lot of the teachers today, and none disrespectful to any teachers, big shout out for what they do, a lot of them just there because they just want a paycheck.
They just want the check. It is.
And they're young. And they're young.
Right. And that's the problem. And like I said, man, you know, I know that, you know, people always say this too. They say, well, Corey, you got to understand, when you got there, Ms. Oliver or these people, they were 40, 50 plus. Well, they didn't start teaching at 40, 50 plus. They were teaching in their 22, so they taught my mama.
Yeah, exactly.
You get what I'm saying? So my thing is, man, listen. Social, everything has changed. You have a lot of teachers now. Remember, I used to go to the store back in the day. I don't know if you remember this, even though your mom was a teacher. My thing was, you rarely saw your teachers in the stores.
Yeah.
You didn't see the teacher in the store. You didn't see these principals. You know, nowadays, it's like, man, everybody be with everybody, hang with everybody. I see teachers hanging with students.
Yeah, exactly. Craziness. You know what I'm saying? And even though we knew that they went to the store, we knew they had to go to the store and
man,
stuff
listen.
Like that.
and you know what that crazy say that? When I saw them in the store, if I wasn't on the same aisle, I avoided them.
We went the other way. You know what I'm saying? We saw them.
Right.
They're going to miss all
right.
Because you know,
right.
if you saw them in the store, they're going to ask you a question. They're going to ask you what you're
doing.
They're
going to ask you a question about, look, they're going to ask you a question about school. Or if you was messing up, they was going to tell your mama right down the spot.
Yep. Right down the spot. Right down the spot. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, look, bro, man, look, I wish we had more time, see, but,
no.
I appreciate
it's all
you.
Good.
I appreciate
Listen,
you, man.
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to you, man. Seriously, thank you to you. I want to thank you to you and your staff and everybody at the radio station. I want to thank, man, seriously, man, I'm out of here, man. Thank you to my kids, man, my lady, man. Thank you to everybody that's helping me above this and everybody back home in next. And like I say, this was just real talk, as you call it, real talk. I appreciate you, and we wasn't stepping on no toes. We just came for the truth.
We came for the truth. And look, ladies and gentlemen, when y'all get a chance, check out the Blueprint Radio. Look, great radio show, man. I'm telling you, y'all, if y'all get a chance, check out the Blueprint Radio radio show with the host Corey Osmond. He gets real. He talks to educators. He brings on the kids. He brings on principals. He brings on college coaches. He's really getting to the weeds and to the matters and to the root of the thing of what's going on with our kids, our students, and in Mississippi. So big shout out to the Blueprint Radio Show, man. Big shout out
Thank
to Corey
you.
Isaac. And look, ladies and gentlemen, hey, that was my man Corey Isaac, my real homeboy Corey Isaac from the Blueprint Radio Show. So look, ladies and gentlemen, check us out here really soon. Look, I just got a couple announcements, and we're going to be out of here. Look, you already know this Sunday, Light Hope Fellowship Ministry, we got our Sunday service at 6:30 live on Facebook. We'll be coming back face-to-face and virtual real soon. Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. We're going to be in Corpus Christi, Texas on June 26th. We're going to be passing out some non-perishable items to the housing authority there in Corpus Christi, Texas. And real quick, I want to send a shout out to my man, Mr. Raymond L. Cockrell. Look, this man saw me on today. I was at a meeting today, and I was given some information about Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. And look, this man said, look, see me when we get done with this meeting. So, Mr. Cockrell from the Killeen Food Center donated an abundant amount of non-perishable food items and blessings on the Block Community Outreach. So I want to send a shout out to the Food Care Center in Killeen, Mr. Raymond L. Cockrell, for their donation to Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. So ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We out of here. We appreciate you. Check us out next time. You already know it's your brother, your cousin, your nephew, Pastor Byron Sago with Real Talk. One love. I'll see you later.
Power to face them fears, power to redeem them years. You got power to speak life, not go pass it to your peers.
I got the Holy Ghost working all over my body, all over my body. I feel like I got that working all over my
wait, hey. Didn't it say I'm supposed to get some?
TPV Radio, Central Texas.